And today is Mother's Day, and so if you call the church, you get Miss Karina on the phone. She'll answer, and it is an amazing gift God has given us. And I've asked Miss Karina to come and give us a Mother's Day greeting. So would you welcome Karina Nissen?
To see me here, but good morning, Freedom Church, and happy Mother's Day to all the moms. I believe I'm here to honor you today because you deserve honor. Moms, you are life givers. Moms, you make a difference. Moms, you influence the world, not just your children and your home, but the world. So I'm here to honor you today. Let me introduce myself briefly. My name is Karina Nissen. I work here. I've been working here for over a year, and it's a joy to answer the phone and talk to you every day. Whenever you call, I'm the one that you talk to. So I am a wife. I've almost 29 years. I've been married to my husband, Steve, for almost 29 years, and we have four children. Three of them are grown and gone, sad for me, and one is still at home. And we have I'm the grandmother of four grandchildren. And it is a joy. I am just overjoyed with my grandchildren. It's awesome. So I will be the first to tell you that I didn't do it perfectly. I am not a perfect mom. And I know you know that because I know that you also know that you didn't do a perfect job as a mom. But you know, that is okay. We are not meant to be perfect. We only must rely on the one who is perfect, and that is Jesus Christ. If you rely on him for strength, you will do a great job as a mom. And that's my encouragement to you today. So rely on him. As a mom, you will experience tremendous joy and satisfaction. I don't have to tell you that. The first smile, the first word, all of those things are wonderful to experience as a new mom. But since I am a older mom, and I have grown children, I'm going to tell you what I call joy right now as a mom of older children. And we're going to talk about 3 John 1:4. I'm going to show you a very brief scripture. 3 John 1:4 says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. And that is my Bible verse as a mom. I have no greater joy. There is no amount of money. There's no amount of titles. There's no amount of success that my children can have that will top that. I have no greater joy than knowing that my children are walking in truth. And that is my verse. And you know what? Just like you will experience joy, there is no greater joy than to know that your children are following the Lord and walking a life that is pleasing to him. And in order for your children to do that, to walk in truth, somebody has to teach them, right? And that's when you come in, mom. That's your job. The truth has to be in your heart first. Let me read you another scripture that is very close and dear to my heart. Deuteronomy 6:5-9. And it says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. That's for you, moms, are to be on your hearts and impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road or ride in your car, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the doorsteps of your homes and on your gates. And if you go to my house, there's lots of Bible verses all around my walls. And people say, wow, you have so much, you know, so much things. But it's because this scripture to me meant that. I need to put it all over my house. So when my children wake up, they see, honor your father and mother. Or trust in the Lord with all your heart. And that's just me. That's how I do it. But I love to impress these truths in my children's lives from the moment that they wake up in the morning. That's what I used to do. I try to do it. And this is the strength that you will get as a mother. Because as a mother, it's not all going to be joy, right, and happiness. You will face disappointments. You will face heartache. But you will not face it alone. God will be with you. As you raise your children, lean on the Holy Spirit for strength. He will guide you. The Bible says that he will guide you into all truth. He is our comforter. He's our teacher. Lean on his wisdom to teach you how to be a mom. Every day, ask him to invade your home. He will empower you to be the mother that you need to be for your children, because he's the one that has given you those children, and he's the one that will give you the wisdom to mother your children. No one else can take your place. Proverbs 3:5 says, and I will finish with this, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not depend on your own understanding. So cover them in prayer. Trust the Lord for their future. No matter their age, you cover them in prayer. I am standing here today because my mom prayed for me, because I had a period in my life that I was rebellious. I did not want to go to church. I did not want to follow God. I wanted to do my own thing. But my mom, she prayed for me. She interceded for me. She believed that God had a plan for my life. And that's why I'm here today. And I want to encourage you to do the same for your children, to believe and intercede for their salvation. If they're not walking close to God, you pray for them. That's what you're called to do, to intercede for your little ones and for your grown children. And ask God to help them to make wise decisions that will honor him. When they make mistakes, I want you to do this, moms, and I had to do this with my kids. Grant them grace. Show them grace. The same grace that God has shown you, you show it to your children, because if it wasn't for the grace of God, none of us would be here, right? So you show your children grace, love, and forgiveness, because they will break your heart. They will make mistakes, but that is okay. If it wasn't for the love and the grace of God, none of us would be here. And that grace is available to your children through you. So that's why, moms, you are a life giver, you are a difference maker, and you can make an impact for your children's life in generations to come. Amen. I love you. Let me pray for you. If you don't mind, I want to pray for you. I felt in my heart that I needed to pray for a few moms here that may be struggling today. Maybe they have lost their moms, so they're grieving. Maybe you have lost a child, so you're grieving. Maybe you are sad today, and we don't know why, but God knows. Or maybe one of your children is a prodigal, and I understand that too. And I want to pray for you that God will give you strength. So let me pray for all of you moms. Father, I thank you for the honor and the privilege that we have to be moms. I thank you, Lord, for that gift that you have given us, Lord, not just to birth children, but also to influence other children, Father. And I pray that we will take that job seriously. I pray for the moms that are hurting today, those that maybe have lost a child, maybe those that are going through grief because they have lost their mother, Father. I pray that you will give them comfort and peace. Father, that they will realize that you are the only true source of comfort. You are the true source of peace, Father. Nothing will take that from them, Father. Nothing will give that to them, Father. No medicine, no alcohol, no drug. Nothing will give them peace like you give peace, true peace that passes understanding. And I pray for those moms that you will give them strength. Holy Spirit, you empower them to be an influence to others, to be a mother to others, Father. I pray for those moms that are crying out for their children's salvation, Lord. Maybe they are in the faraway land, Father, and I pray that they will return back to you, Jesus, because that is your will for your children and their children. And I thank you and I praise you. I pray for those moms of little ones that may need some strength every day to continue on, and I pray that you will help them, you will strengthen them, and you will give them wisdom that only comes from you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. Amen. I love you, moms. Happy Mother's
amen.
Day.
Amen. Thank you, Ms. Karina. You can take that. Praise God. Amen. What a delight. She is a blessing to the staff, and I know she's a blessing to you. Thank you, Ms. Karina. What a great word for moms today. I just want to mention that if you need a Fire Bible, we got a deal, Jeff Dove that runs Fire Bibles. They have produced Fire Bibles all around the world, and now they've made one in English for the American church. And you can buy one. You can go on our giving slot and go down and purchase a Fire Bible just like this one, $55. You won't find that anywhere else at that price. It's a special rate. So if you want a Fire Bible and you want to look at mine, I'm going to lay it down here. You can come see. But I would encourage you to buy a Fire Bible, because the notes in there and the references in there are just beneficial for helping you understand the Scripture. Amen? You know, in the Assemblies of God has always ordained and blessed women in ministry, because we believe the verse that says in Acts chapter 2, God's going to pour out his Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters are going to prophesy. And I know there's a couple of verses where Paul says, I don't want women teaching men in church. And what you have to do with that, and people have trouble with that, what you have to do is take the Scripture as its wholeness and not just be select. Because he also, in one passage of Scripture, talks about baptizing people for the dead. In other words, you're baptizing people who have preceded. We don't know what he was talking about there. We have no clue. Therefore, we don't build a doctrine on one little sliver. What you have to do is take the broad work of the Holy Spirit. And in that, you can see prophetess in the New Testament. That means a proclaimer of truth. You can see deaconess in the New Testament. They actually call deaconesses in the New Testament church. And then in the Old Testament, see, I'm familiar with this because some guy posted a little thing the other day on Facebook. And I've kind of learned my lesson not to argue on Facebook. I think I have. And he was talking about not having women preach and so on and so forth. I know who he was. The problem is I know the lady he was talking to. And I just posted Scripture back to him. And one of the Scriptures I talked to him about was Deborah in the Old Testament. Because Deborah was a judge. Deborah was a warrior. Deborah rescued the nation of Israel as a mom. Matter of fact, in Judges chapter 5, verse 7, Deborah arose as the mother for Israel. Lord, in the next few moments, captivate our hearts with your word. I thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit. I thank you for the women of God and what you do through them. Bless. In the name of Jesus, amen. A couple of weeks ago, Mandy was getting in the van to drive to church. And Rowan is in the van and he, Mom, I got to go get something. So he runs back in the house. And she's, you know, as a mom with three babies, running late. You ever done that? Not me. Linda always did that. I was always at church, and she'd bless my wife. And Mandy's sitting there waiting for Rowan to get back. Finally, she goes in, and he's robbing his piggy bank so he'll have an offering at church. Is that not cool? It blessed me. He had $6 in his piggy bank. And he brought $2.38 to church. But in the eyes of God, that was a couple $1,000,000. Oh, God, help me to rob my piggy bank. Help me to have that kind of heart. They don't get that normal. They get that because. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Perry, for what you're doing in Children's Church for our children. Amen. The story of Deborah is quite amazing. In Judges chapter 4, verse 1, and the problem is, and if you read Judges, you know it, there rose a generation who knew not the Lord, and that always creates chaos in a land. There rose a generation who knew not the Lord, and that always causes chaos in the land. And God would raise up these judges, and there were all kinds of, some were good judges, and some were bad judges. They were just, I mean, you know, some of them didn't do exactly what they were supposed to be doing and all that. And the reason that happened and the nation of Israel fell into that problem is because they failed to conquer the land. And then the Scripture tells them that. they failed to follow through with what God told them to do and cast out all the enemies that would hinder God's provision. And you know, the truth is, we're guilty of that too. You know, God tells us something. I don't know about you. He's told me several times, Larry, you should leave that alone. And instead of casting that out of my life, conquering that, I just kind of, it's not that big a deal. Some things you just need to leave alone. Amen. And so here we are in Judges chapter 4, verse 1. After Ehud's death, the Israelites again did evil in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord turned them over to the king of Jabin of Hazar, a Canaanite king. The commander of his armor was Sisera. Thank you. Who lived in, I'll give that to you. Sisera, who had 900 iron chariots, ruthlessly oppressed the Israelites for 20 years. Then the people of Israel cried out to the Lord for help. Deborah, who was a prophet, who was judging Israel at the time, she would sit under the palm of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the hill country of Ephraim. The Israelites would go to her for judgment. One day, she sent for Barak, the son of Abinadab, who lived in Kadesh in the land of Naphtali. She said to him, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, commands you. Call out 10,000 warriors from the tribe of Naphtali and Zebulun and at Mount Tabor, and I will cause Sisera, commander of Jabin's army, along with his chariots and warriors, to the Kizron River, and there I will give you victory over him." How many of you know that the Lord is interested in giving victory to your life? And Barak said to her, "I will go, but only if you go with me." The man didn't want to go by himself. He needed the woman. He wanted the, because she had the authority the people wanted in the land. Listen, she did. In verse 14, then Deborah said to Barak, Get ready this day. The Lord will give you victory over Sisera, and the Lord is marching ahead of you. So Barak led his 10,000 warriors down the slope of Mount Tabor into battle. And when Barak attacked, the Lord threw Sisera and all of his chariots and warriors into panic. How many know the Lord knows how to fight for you? The Lord knows how to fight for you. He knows how to do that. This is what I also know. Sometimes the Lord's victory comes through unlikely sources. I don't know about you, but I don't know if I'd have chose Peter. I don't know about you, but I don't know if I'd have chose the sons of thunder. I don't know about you, but I don't know if I chose Paul, who was killing all my people. I don't know. There's some strange things that God does in Scripture. He calls the unlikely. And there are some people you would never think that would step up to the plate like a boy with his lunch that feeds 5,000. I mean, there are some things you just kind of, wow, God. You know what that does mean, though? If God uses the unlikely, that means he's liable to use you. Deborah says to Barak, "Get ready." I think the Lord's saying that to me. I think that Lord's saying that to you, to us. Get ready. Get ready. I'm about to do something. Get ready. I'm about to let my provision fall. Get ready. I'm about to do something for your family. Get ready. I'm about to do something for you. Get ready. You know, sometimes we just sit back and expect God to do things, but God wants us engaged in the process. And part of that process is to get ready. That means to train yourself. That means to get ready. That means to do some things that God is prompting you to do. Don't neglect that. In the midst of your delay, get ready. Get ready. And some people never see victory because they fail to get ready. They never get to the point where they expect God to do something for them. Can I tell you, God eagers, longs to do something for his children. He loves it. That means this. What does it mean to get ready? I mean, I think you ought to set your expectations on something supernatural from heaven. Because if there's ever a time we need something supernatural from heaven, it's now. You ought to get ready for that. For the people of God in that day, it was prepare for war. You and I need to prepare not for a physical war, but the spiritual war. That means you got to walk in obedience. That means you ought to be a man of prayer. It means you ought to be a man or woman to give. All of the instruments of our warfare are not carnal. They're spiritual. Be ready. Get ready. Start engaging those things. Amen? And don't be afraid of the enemy. Part of getting ready is have no fear. God is with you. Amen? Deborah makes this bold declaration. Today, the Lord is going to give you the victory. Well, it doesn't look like it. We've been here for 20 years underneath the heavy hand of these oppressors. What makes today special? Because God has decided, has heard the cries of moms and dads, and he is ready to fight in your behalf. That's what God was doing. Isaiah 42, verse 13 says this, The Lord will march forth like a mighty hero. He will come out like a warrior, full of fury. He will shout his battle cry and crush all his enemies. Who's he do that for? The people of God. His chosen people. Amen? You see, this is what it says. And the Lord threw that army into panic. Listen, they had 900 chariots. There was no way the children of Israel were supposed to win this war. They didn't have the implements. They didn't have the armament. They didn't have the equipment. They didn't have, in comparison to what they had, they were minuscule. They were bugs. About to get stomped. How many know God knows how to fight for you? Oh, he fights for the unlikely. He fights for the insignificant. He fights for his truth. And that's what we are, bearers of his truth. Amen? Verse 4, chapter 4, verse 23, it says, so on that day Israel saw God defeat Jabin, the Canaanite king. And from that time on, Israel became stronger and stronger against King Jabin until they had finally destroyed him. Oh, that wasn't the final victory that day. They fought in that. It's not the end, but it is the path that God has chosen for us to obtain victory. So it doesn't mean you're just going to have one war, one battle, and have the victory. It means it's a process. But you got to start somewhere. And you got to start with the help of the Lord. You got to start with the God doing battle in your behalf. You got to start with those small victories that lead to big victories, that lead to deliverance. God is in the business of fighting for his people. Get ready. Get ready. And a part of that is making sure our hearts are right. You know, when I think of my mom, My mama, we didn't go to church a lot when I was growing up. I can remember my mom saying one thing to us. One thing. We were going to my grandpa's house, and my grandma and grandpa on my mom's side were kind of loose with their language. And my mom turns around, and we're in a VW bus. My dad was a hippie before hippies were vogue. And she turns around from the front seat and says, "Listen, you are not going to use God's name in vain." We don't even go to church. I never seen my mama read the Bible. Did you hear me? My mom and dad didn't pray till late, much later. But that my mama honored. There's something down in her. Something inside of her. And I believe with all my heart, because of that one thing, to honor the name of God, God went to bat. God went to bat for some children who had no way, but he gave a way. And when we moved to from California to Florida, we moved next door to this lady. "Won't you come to church? Won't you come to church?" And we walked into church. Pagans, and God began to do something. I wonder what God wants to do in your life. Get ready. What did I say? Delay is not no. Delay is not no. Stand with me, would you? Some of you need to get ready. Some of you need to get ready. God wants to do something. God wants to fight in your behalf. And you know where you need to get ready at. You sense him speaking to you right now. "This is what I need to do. This is what I need to give up. This is what I need to do. This is where I need to go. God, you got to help me do this. I can't do this on my own." Maybe you're here this morning and you don't know the Lord. Maybe you're here this morning and you're just trying to figure out, "Jesus, I don't understand this." Listen to me. If you'll just ask him, like Thomas in the upper room, "Lord, I'm not sure about this. Can you help me? Are you really up there?" Because I remember as a 10-year-old boy laying out on the hood of my dad's truck, looking up into the heavens and saying, "God, if you're really up there, I'd like to know you." I think that was the beginning of my dad moving to Florida and my neighbor saying, "Wouldn't you like to come to church?" Today, the day the Lord wants to meet you where you are. Get ready. Maybe that's your prayer today. "Lord, I'm trying to figure this out and I need a little help. If you're really up there, I want to know you." Because this is what I know. The God in heaven who sent his son to die on the cross and rose on the third day wants you to know him. And he will part waters to help you know him. Would you bow your heads in his presence? Maybe you're here this morning. You say, "Pastor Larry, there's something in my life I need to get ready about. There's just something. I just sense the Lord. I just need to get ready." Would you just raise your hand? Yes, 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 yes. Maybe you're here today and you say, "Pastor Larry, that's me. about the delay. I'm a little frustrated because there's a little delay in my life. I thought something was going to happen, and it's not happening, and I just need God to help me understand what's going on. Would you raise your hand? Yeah, yeah. Maybe you're here today, and you say, just, you know, Pastor Larry, I'm just trying to figure out God, and I want to know him more. Would you just raise your hand? I'm not going to embarrass you. Yes, yes. I just want to pray with you right now. Lord, I thank you for the work of your Holy Spirit in this place. I thank you, Lord God, as you raise up men and women alike, as you raise up women like Deborah, Lord, to deliver your people today, Lord, it's a great inspiration to know for here that you fight for us. Some here, Lord, are in the midst of delay. God, let them know the peace and the preparation of the Holy Spirit in their lives. God, there are theirs here today, Lord. They need to get ready for what you're about to do and show and display in their lives. Lord, help them, prepare them. There are those in this room, oh God, who just need to have the whisper of your voice. Make yourself known. Reveal yourself through your word, Lord. God, we invite the presence of the Holy Spirit into this place. Work, Lord, supernaturally, I pray. We love you, Lord.